When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well met, fellow adventurers. We are back with Sir Croakington, and in a previous episode, we rescued the Master Thief Owl from the dungeons beneath Sarngard. And apparently he has a mission. He has a task for us to do, which will go into the secrets and mysteries of that island. It takes part in Proving Ground 6, the Elder Throne, from the dangerous shores of Stungard Island to the embattled streets of the powerful remote city-state of Cardson. You find your fate and those of all the free nations of the North Broadlands entangled in a sinister web. A deadly snare spun by a faceless enemy. It is now squarely upon your shoulders, and those of your unlikely companion, the legendary Master Thief known only as the Owl, that the desperate hopes of an imperiled realm have solemnly settled. Let us select the Elder Throne. And part one. This is another one of those proving grounds, so it's a series of smaller scenarios, well, smaller than the whole thing, although in this one, single scenarios are longer than full-fledged quests. And there's four parts, setting out Stride Island, the City of the Sorcerer Lord, and the Elder Throne. We can only see the parts for the part one. The scenario lists. No, titles. Anyway, part one, setting out. As the cool breezes of the late summer swiftly give way to the harsher breath of the season of wither, you find yourself departing from Sarngard Isle. On the first leg of an adventure into the unknown, a journey you hope that will take you to the heart of the mysterious events that have confronted you from the moment you set foot on this perilous shores, and in fact, started to confront me even before that. Beneath a star-stangled sky. Begin. The following is the opening portion of a verse commonly known throughout the North Broadlands as Owl's Ballad. A silent wain damp maze below the tender grasp of night. A silent watcher perched above the starving moon, a lonely light. A sudden flare to shatter gloom, a hastened step of fright. A sudden breath on downclad wing, the owl takes to flight. And then there's more verses, but we don't know what they are. Just after midnight, 18 hours ago, in a small chamber high within the easternmost of Sarngard Keep's four grand towers. Something sinister, probably. A broad, rectangular table dominates the centre of the room, whose dark interior is only dimly lit by the pale, flickering light of a single lamp. two tall figures, seated at the opposite ends of the table, had positioned themselves just beyond the feeble reach of the lamp's pitiful glow. They remained shrouded in the dense gloom that fills the otherwise empty chamber. The figure closest to the bolt door speaks first in a low but clear voice. "I understand our friend is gone." The second figure shifts in his seat and lays his collapsed hands on the table before responding to the direct inquiry in a tone brimming with confidence. "Yes, but it's no cause for concern. He slipped from his noose sooner than we might have hoped, but it hardly matters. He'll fly now, and undoubtedly seeks to return to his nest, and we'll follow him to it." A moment's silence follows. "You're hopeful to a fault, suggest I not be alarmed," grumbles the first voice. "His freedom didn't come to pass on our terms. I'm sure you must know that his rescue is a reason enough to rethink his deploy. What have you found out about this woman in the dungeons?" "And that's us, much. It was regular dude we found in the cell," through the advisor was. "It was regular dude we found in the cell. That's the name Sir Crokington takes on Sarkard Isle." Through, the advisor was slow to admit it. "It seems that apart from being a jouster and Frakir's tasker, our mysterious friend may also have other, more interesting and dangerous affiliations. Do tell." "This regular dude is clearly in league with the mercenary captain who sits among our ranks, one whose sudden and valorous exploits against the Nanawuk fail to earn the attention for which they so obviously begged. Millinor? Yes. Your spies have trailed him?" "They have. Though we found reason to suspect that this regular dude is not who she seems, we all but certain that the woman discovered in the dungeons, who meets in secrecy with Millinor, whose name has risen in prominence on this shore, is none other than Sir Crokington. Oh no, they know who I am, whoever these people are. No, it's schemes within schemes, wheels within wheels on Sarngard Island. You know, everyone has plots, and they only tell you a bit of it. And they probably only know a bit of it." "Sir Crokington," interrupts the first voice, "it is that I suspected and feared. The most potent of Poen's puppets among us is cause enough for alarm. Always the ruinous meddler does the good Thane prove to be. He needs to remember to whom he'll soon owe his allegiance. It will likely be decreed before another month is out." What will be decreed? Well, the only person that the Thanes really has any allegiance to is the king, so... Is this a... So the usurpation of the king himself? Perhaps. That they're being just vague enough that we're not really sure what they're planning. Or who they are. "Our friend arrives in 2 days," says the second voice. We might easily find ourselves rid of this problem by his hand. Even the mighty Sir Crokington will prove no match against his powers. Nothing will come of it. Poirot will not dare to reveal to us his hand in these affairs. Sir Crokington is expendable to him. Like the others. No, our friend is to know nothing of this yet," replies the first voice. "We have reason to suspect Sir Crokington will depart from these shores, tucked under the wing of his newfound ally. It's a long and treacherous trek back to the nest in Carlson, and only one of them need make it that far. Let them fly together, we will follow. And this Milanor, says the second voice, its tone growing slightly more sinister as the name of the mercenary captain is uttered. Another famed Poland agent, to be sure. You have no idea how white you are. Because if you're not up to date, either because you haven't played the game or you haven't listened to it, Milanor is Thane Poland in disguise. I might as well just put that out there. Because it's not spoilers, is it something that's previously happened? He replies, we'll send him and his men out beyond the altar. Marcus, our friend, will deal with them there. Oh no. Who is this friend? Who could it be? Someone powerful for sure. I mean, even Milanor's powerful, and they know Milanor is one of the toughest guys in the realm. He's just plowing through the Nanowuk, who are goblins like they're nothing. He's got a whole team of badasses with him. That's what they know. And they suspect other things, perhaps. Our friend will deal with. Who is this friend? I don't know. But maybe it'll be revealed later. For several moments, both men sit in silence. The lamp flickers brightly for a few seconds and then goes out, leaving them in total darkness. Neither seems to care. And the advisor, says the second voice somewhat impatiently, we know all too well that he is a danger. With every breath he is allowed to draw. So that is Lunarik, I guess. Deal with him as you like, says the first voice. But not in these halls. He is no longer of any practical use. You will have the other names as well. See to it they are dealt with before the week is out. Oh, that must be a kill list. Without another word, both men rise from the table and step towards each other in a shoulder cross, with their outstretched hands firmly pressed into each other's shoulders. They begin taking turns, relaying to each other what might only be described as separate portions of a curious and well-rehearsed verse. We wait as faithful wardens. The time draws near. Three times the sky will light. The horns of great heralds will sound. We are to be ready. We are always to be prepared. Nothing can prevent the return. There is no power that can. Well, that's ominous and mysterious. Which is, of course, as you expect for Sarngard. The two figures break off the shoulder cross and step back from one another. Then, without another word, they turn and step quietly out of the small chamber, slowly closing the door softly behind them. The sound of the footfalls fades slowly into distance as they pass along the corridor and out of the tower that has served as their host for their fateful clandestine meeting. The small, dark room, occupied only by shadows and the lingering scent, the lamp's last breath is once again empty. Almost empty. A slip of shadow. A blur of deep blue and trailing blue? Alright, that must be the blue cape. The mysterious guy we keep bumping into, of unknown allegiance. The whisper of a softened footfall on the worn timbers of the floor, a gentle breeze to stir the lineaments of the lamp's haze, and then silence and stillness once more. The small chamber at the top of Songguard's Keep Easternmost Tower is at last empty. And now, nearly 4 hours before the mark of midnight, finds you standing atop the southernmost of the keep's four grand towers. Pressed up against a chest-high parapet, gazing out across the dust-draced landscape spread out below. Tomorrow morning, 2 hours before sunrise, you are to meet the man known only as Owl, the edge of the forested hills east of the keep. Only late this afternoon, you return to your quarters in the keep to find a note carefully tucked away into a spot you've been instructed to watch. It spoke of tomorrow's pre-dawn meeting, and at once your heart leaped with the promise of adventure. Almost immediately, you set out for the west camp, eager to seek any counsel which Thane Porrand, disguised as Middlemore, well, except in very private places, might have to impart before you embark upon your journey. You're dismayed to discover, however, that Milinor and his mercenaries have been urgently dispatched to the area north of the Outer Markers just hours ago. You return to the keep to prepare yourself for tomorrow's departure. Now, only a few hours away from the appointed time you are to meet with Owl at the edge of the wooded hills east of the keep, you stand atop the southernmost of the keep's four grand towers, staring out across the dark, rolling slopes that fall away towards the isle's distant and rugged coast. Out of the corner of your eye, you catch sight of the twinkling lights from the west camp and turn to face them. Dozens of small, flickering yellow dots stab through the gloom, lit, loaning at least some semblance of civilization to a scene that suddenly seems exceptionally wild and savage. Beyond the camp to the north, you can make out fires that burn throughout the night at the base of the Outer Markers. The thought suddenly turns to your friend and ally, Thane Porrand, known to all on Sangala as Milanor, and pray he and his men will return safely from the urgent mission that called them away earlier today. Turning back to the south, you spot a dark line beyond the backs of the furthest hills, and realise it is the Warring Sea, that even now smashes mercilessly into the shores of the island, as it has done for centuries uncounted, and will undoubtedly continue to do so, even long after the events of this age and all its dire perils are long forgotten. As you continue to turn your gaze in every direction, marveling at all you can see from this lofty vantage point, even in the absence of the sun's light, your mind suddenly becomes clouded with doubt and apprehension. You find yourself wondering what lies in store for you in the days ahead, particularly the sudden sound of a soft footfall on the stairs leading up to the tower's battlement sends your pulse racing. Pressing your back to the power pad and firmly gripping your weapons, you turn about and prepare to confront whoever is moving up the steps. A lone figure emerges from the shadowy stairwell and steps onto the battlement. You're about to demand the person identify themselves when you suddenly realise it is Arthur Rook. Oh yes, the love interest, who is always the opposite gender as your character, because it just assumes your character is straight. Relieved, you relax your guard and welcome him, asking how it was he knew to find you here. I didn't, he says, smirking. I'd like to be able to tell you that this was the first place I checked, but it would be a lie. I've been on rather a grand tour of this palace. Before you can question me further, Arthur Rook steps forward and meets you in a tender embrace. Huntsman then steps back and slowly shakes his head. You really put yourself up to it now, he says. You needn't try to hide it, regular dude. I know you're leaving. I only ask that you take care of yourself, and that you return here when the business that you have that drives you from the shores is done. Stunned at his foreknowledge of your impending departure, you swiftly ask Arthur how he came to know it. "Why, my dear lady," says the huntsman, smirking, "you need to maintain just a bit more faith in me." Arthur joined you at the parapet and peers out across the shadowy island, spread out beneath the star-spangled sky like a giant living map. His rugged gaze takes hold of your own, and he sighs. The huntsman's gaze remains fixed on dark, haunting beauty of the night-clad isle. "You promise to take care in whatever world you find yourself upon, won't you?" he says at last, tightening his grip on his hand. "And you must promise to return here, no matter what." "I will wait for you, sir, for you regular dude, no matter what befalls this place." You're taken aback by the sudden, direct, seemingly portentous nature of his words. You're also struck by what you feel is a genuine and deep sentiment of concern. You turn and face the huntsman, and once again, immediately reminded of his handsomeness. Without hesitation, you promise him that you will return to the isle. Alfred leans forward and places a tender kiss on your forehead before turning and peering back out across all that rolls away into the darkness beneath your vantage point. With your hands clasped tightly together, the two of you stare out into the night across the vast breadth of the tormented shores, from which you immediately depart on a journey that you hope will lead you to the very heart of the matters in which you now find yourself entangled. You are now, however, more determined than ever to see this business through to its end, whatever that may prove to be, and return to the isle. At length, after a final lingering base, you bid farewell to Arthrock, once again promising to return to Sarngard as soon as you can, though even now you remain uncertain as to what lies in store for you in the days ahead. By the time you're back on these shores, "I might just be running this place," he says, as you step onto the stairs and turn back to him to bid him a last farewell. The sight of the handsome huntsman leaning back against the parapet, his face bathed in pale, ghostly light of the silvered moon peering down at the star-filled sky, is not one you will readily forget. With a final wave, you turn and descend the stairs, heading swiftly for your private quarters, determined to get at least a few hours of sleep before your appointed pre-dawn rendezvous with the master thief known to you only as Owl. You wake with a start, fearing that you might have overslept, only to quickly discover with a glance out the window high on the wall that the black skies are awash with a glittering field of stars. Wishing to make it to the one viewpoint in time, and eager to subsequently embark on your journey into the unknown, you promptly rise, gather and equip your gear, and steal into the silent passage outside your door. Moving swiftly and quietly along the empty corridors of the keep, you make your way out of the fortress and across a wide, tree-lined courtyard to the main gates. The guards stationed at the entrance nod respectfully and open the iron barred portal without question. You pass through the gates and soon find yourself walking briskly along a stone track that leads around to the eastern side of the imposing structure. On the eastern side of the keep, you pass through the crumbling remains of an old courtyard that is apparently in the process of being rebuilt, taking great care not to make unnecessary noise. You cautiously wind your way through the piles of stone and freshly cut timber towards a gaping hole in the outer wall of this once grand garden. As you approach the gap in the wall, the sound footfalls from behind quickens your pulse. Instinctively, you spin around, preparing to face whatever is moving up on you, only to find yourself staring at the dark, empty courtyard left in your wake. So, apparently, there's a few things I can do to respond to this possible intrusion. I could use divination or thievery, both at 50 plus. I could remain here and attempt to spot who is behind me, or just carry on. That might be the safest option. Anyway, I'm going to go to random.hall to decide what to do. Right, I rolled a 2, second one down, thievery. Successful. 8 XP to thievery. Your cunning eye spots a figure crouched behind a nearby pile of cut stone. So I can confront the figure crouched behind the rubble, or attempt to flee from the apparent pursuer. I do. I shall confront the figure. You step towards a heap of stone, who boldly call out to the crouching figure to emerge from the shadows. Much to your surprise, the shadowy figure does as you command and steps out into the open to stand before you. Standing less than 5 yards from you in the gloom of the courtyard is a woman with a face that's been blackened by what appears to be soot or ash. There is something eerily familiar about the face staring back at you from beneath the grimy mask. Without warning, your heart skips 2 beats and you exhale sharply as you make a sudden and startling revelation. You're staring at yourself. All right, so it's either the ring of disguise is working here, or I'm looking at a toad, in which case it should have been much easier to notice it was me. Your uncanny likeness, which you now realize bears equipment identical to your own, seems to recognize your surprise reaction. It quickly speaks, a voice you know better than any other. You're at home. There isn't time. I have only moments. Listen to me. With your mind still reeling, you struggle to comprehend what your mirror image is relating to you. You have to remember this, she says, stepping forward and touching your forearm, as if to assure you it's not just some elaborate illusion. When the fire comes, do not save him. Do not go back. All will be lost. You must run. Owl must be left behind. Do you understand? I am you. Do you understand? Suddenly, your likeness cringes, as if in pain, and staggers back several steps. The magic is wearing thin. Do you understand? She cries, her voice adopting a frantic tone. With your thoughts still spinning, you manage a quick nod before saying that you will remember. Oh, what the heck is going on here? Without another word, your likeness staggers back several more feet before suddenly shimmering brightly and disappearing. You are once again alone.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
unnerved by the encounter, but realizing you've been told is either an ominous warning of a future event or some sort of sinister ploy. You vow to remember every word. When the fire comes, do not save him. Do not go back. All will be lost. You must run. Owl must be left behind. With those words running through your head, you turn and swiftly make your way out. Out through the gaping hole in the crumbling courtyard wall. Once beyond the courtyard, you move across a series of grassy fields until you arrive at the edge of the wooded hills where you hope to rendezvous with Owl and at last embark upon your mysterious journey, which is now even more mysterious. With Sarngard Keep now lost in the shadows to the west, you begin a sweep of the nearby hills, searching for any sign of your would-be companion. As luck would have it, after only a few minutes, your keen eyes spot a figure seated on a low, bowed branch of the mighty elm at the foot of a steep slope. As you approach, the figure nimbly drops to the ground and strolls over to greet you. You once again find yourself standing face to face with the Master Thief, not just an adept, but master. "You've taken less care than I thought you might," he scoffs, his unpleasant tone and confrontational manner catching you off guard. "It's a wonder the whole keep doesn't know where you've gone. No matter, let's go. There is another rendezvous we're to keep. We're out to get ourselves off this horrid isle." Somewhat put off by the unfriendly greeting, you vow to put it behind you as you move off into the wooded hills with the owl. As you embark on a swift and somewhat arduous trek through the wooded hills east of Stargard Keep, Owl apologizes for early remarks and tells you that these sort of endeavours do much to play on his nerves. "It's not the sort of adventure I particularly enjoy," he says, glancing at you sideways as he carefully bends back a low-hanging branch before stepping past it. "I'll be a bit more at ease when the keep is far behind us. I'm afraid I know a bit too much to be able to relax my guard there." Curiously note, the owl carries no visible weapon and indeed very little gear of any kind. He's clad in a heavy cloth tunic and worn leather breeches. A small cloth pack clings tightly to his back, fashioned by a crude length of rope that runs along his midsection. I guess he's prioritizing stealth over damage, because I guess if they want damage, well, that's what I'm there for. Very much so. A pair of soft leather boots cover his feet, and every step he takes, though quick, seems to be chosen with great care. You ask Owl where he is headed, only to be taken aback when he tells you the ultimate destination is Cardston. His answer subtly brings into focus the grand scale of the adventure you've only just embarked upon. For few indeed are the places you can immediately bring to mind that are further removed from the shores of Sarngard Isle than the remote city-state south of Tysonwell. Well, there's the Tower of Aspir. That's further away. But I guess a lot of places are further away, but we haven't been there. And anywhere in the Nevelous, in some ways. In other ways, it's right there. It's complicated. "I suppose the Thane hasn't told you much," he says, looking back over his shoulder at you. Well, to be fair, he knows little enough about it. "I'll keep no secrets in you, Sir Crokington. I don't take your companionship lightly. I'm only too grateful to have you at our side." Okay. It seems that what the owl wants and what Thane Porren want don't align completely. Although there's probably a very large overlap, even if they don't know it. You're about to ask Owl how he intends to get off the aisle when he again speaks, answering your query before you can voice it. There's a ship waiting for us on the coast, he says. I should say. I pray it is still waiting for us. Might be at the bottom of the split by now. Well, if that's the case, we'll need to find some other way. I don't think either of us is up for swimming out to Swine Isle, very mention of the legendary isle, which sits just off the southeast coast of Sarngard, garners your profound interest. You are well aware of the tales of the ancient ruins strewn across the small rocky island, and of the fearsome beasts said to guard its many hidden treasures. There's a lawbook entry for this, so I'll read that now. Swine Isle. This small island, too small to appear on most maps, is located just off the southeast corner of Sarngard Island in the turbulent, treacherous waters of the Sarn Split. The ruins of an ancient shrine of unknown origins dominate the rocky hills in the middle of the island. Many legends tell of a fearsome beast that prowls the island and guards its ancient shrine. I think it's pretty likely we'll end up fighting this beast at some point. Because, I mean, why bring up a beast if you're not going to fight it? Or befriend it, I guess, and have it fight other things. That'll work too. It's Chekhov's beast. In many of the tales, this creature was referred to as the Beast of Swine Isle. It's our first stop, he says. There's something I've been tasked to retrieve from the old temple at its peak. You make mention of the legend of the guardian beast said to roam the shores of Swine Isle. And I'll cast you a wary grin. I've never been quite keen on creatures of that sort. Indeed, the old tales are even true, he says. But come what may, I have a girl at my side who is, I've heard, is fairly good at that sort of thing. Also, I've heard sung at more than one alehouse, and from a certain mutual acquaintance. How did you get mixed up with Thane Pond in the first place? The leagues between Sarngard Keep and the rugged isle and coast melt away beneath your feet as you find yourself lost in deep and fascinating conversation with Owl. The Master Thief seems genuinely eager to hear about your many adventures, and while he mentions one or two of his own, you can't help but feel he's never truly relating to you the full story. Well, I guess as a Master Thief, he tends to get himself involved in the sort of things you can't boast about in taverns as much. You know, because if someone knew what you did, you'd be hunted down. Gradually, as the day dawns bright over the island, the forested hills through which you're travelling give way to rolling boulder-strewn grassy plains and stretch out towards the nearby rocky coast. We're not far off now, says Owl, as the two of you climb onto a small hollow and pause to survey the land before you and to rest your legs. Seems that we might. A sudden rush of air is immediately followed by Owl's agonized cry. Your companion staggers forward, clutching at the shaft of an arrow protruding from his left thigh. He curses as he drops to his knees and immediately works to remove the missile. You instinctively spin to your right, scanning the nearby hills for the source of the arrow. With moments, two more of the deadly shafts stream past, coming within inches of you. Suddenly, your eyes are drawn to the hilltop to your right. There, perhaps 20 yards from where you stand, two men, each hurriedly wedging their weapons for another volley. Come on, cries Owl, casting aside the bloody shaft and wrapping a torn length of cloth tightly around the wound. Leave him! Let's go! Alright, so I have many options here. Your archery to shoot back, elementalism to burn them, fortification to protect us while presumably one away, telekinesis to do something. Or I could just charge at the archers, even though that is explicitly what Owl told me not to do. And he'll probably be mad at me if I try it, even if I do succeed, which I will, because, you know, Sir Croakington is brilliant. And I'm brilliant, as Sir Croakington. When I'm not Sir Croakington, not so much. Or I could do the sensible thing and attempt to flee out of the range of the archers. I'd hope they're not, you know, not trying to get me to flee into a greater trap. Alright, what the six options here? Going to random.org to choose one for me. Number two. So, elementalism. Succeeded. 16 XP to elementalism. You channel your power of elementalism, watch with satisfaction as a pair of mighty air elementals swoop down out of the sky and swiftly envelop the two archers. Now, am I conjuring the elementals? Or am I just calling upon the many air elementals that just are everywhere? Just hanging around, presumably in a slightly less visible form. As the two men struggle to free themselves from the elemental's ravaging grasp, you and Owl move quickly away. Yeah? Alright, yep, yeah, that's probably what I'm supposed to do. At last, removed from the immediate threat of the two archers, you and Owl come to a stop. The thief adjusts the blood-soaked length of cloth tied around his upper thigh and grimaces. I think I was targeted by mistake, he says. They will fire on you. I've suffered worse, though. Go on, let's be off. Can I use restoration now? No, only on myself. There doesn't seem to be an option to heal Al, presumably because we're moving too quick for him to stay still and let me heal him. You and Al set off across the grassy plains leading up to the steep hills that form much of the eastern coast of Starngard. As you draw near to the first protrusions of stone that hint at the treacherous cliffs ahead, you cross an old and overgrown stone-paved road. Al tells you the road is a reminder of the glory days of the island, and once connected the southern harbour with the mines and quarries of the north. Soon, after passing over the road, you make your way into the cliffs at the edge of the coast. Even at this height, nearly 50 feet above the raging ocean, you can hear the roar of the tumultuous waves. Shh, push, shh, push. Like that, but, you know, better. As they slap against the island shore. You discover a narrow, rocky track leading down towards the stony inlet below. Owl tells you that it's within a hidden cove at the back of the inlet, that you shall find the means to reach the ship that hopefully waits just off the coast. Reminded of his mention of the ship, you stare out across the sea, but a roiling bank of fog makes it impossible to see further than 50 yards from the shore. With Owl at your lead, you begin a careful descent along the narrow cliffside track towards the inlet below. The going proves exceptionally slow, as Owl's wounded leg, which apparently Sir Croakington has just forgot that she can heal. Just forgot that? Yeah. Seems to bring him adversity with each step as he takes on the harrowing descent. After several minutes, you're nearly halfway down the track when a large shadow drapes itself over you and your limping companion. The two of you shoot your gazes skyward when you behold a sight that inspires immediate profound dread. Owl gasps. High above, soaring against the dense grey ceiling of cloud, its dark wings fully extended, is a large dragon. A dragon already? And we've only just started. The two Two of you stand frozen on a cliff narrow track, your backs pressed securely onto the side of the cliff. You watch with fascination as the massive creature begins circling. "It's watching us, or I'm quite mistaken," says Owl, not taking his eyes from the dragon. "This is no chance sighting, no coincidence. It's either watching us or hunting us. I greatly prefer the first of those, mind." Suddenly, the owl makes an abrupt turn and begins a rapid descent. As its fearsome form looms larger and larger above you, Owl curses and flashes you a concerned glance. "Owls? Now dragons? Just how many enemies have you got?" "You know what? I stopped keeping count after a while." "Yeah, it's just to stop keeping count. It's just I just wait for them to come to me and then I do the slashy slashy. Or the bashy bashy. Usually it's the bashy bashy recently. And occasionally, since I'm wielding the tassel off, it's the swarmy swarmy as well." Suddenly, as the winged beast continues its swift descent, you notice something odd about the dragon's wing and come to the startling and welcome conclusion that the creature rapidly approaching you is not a dragon at all. It's a Choterik, a docile winged reptile. Choteriks are commonly employed as mounts, particularly in the southern reaches of the world. Oh, and there's a lore book entry for them as well, Choterik. These large, docile winged reptiles are commonly mistaken for dragons. Through the shape of their wings, we'll usually give them away. Unlike dragons, Choterik do not possess a breath weapon and are easily trainable as mounts. Through where in the northern reaches of Swith, Choterik are quite common in the far south. Alright, so presumably whoever we're fighting against has continent-spanning connections, so they could get these dragons. Well, these not dragons, these Choteriks. Kind of pitching yourself, "You voice your discovery to Owl," and the thief nods. "What's that on his back?" he asks. No sooner have the words left his lips, you spot a tall figure holding a long staff, seated between two humps on the centre of the reptile, the massive reptile's bony spines. As the Choterik soars lower, coming almost perilously close to the edge of the cliff, you note the figure seated upon the back is a woman. Without warning, the woman levels her staff at you and unleashes a massive bolt of flame crackles as it hurtles through the air towards you. You turn to shout a warning to Owl, only to find he's nowhere to be seen. Well, he would be good at mysteriously disappearing. You've only scant seconds before you will surely be consumed by the deadly blast of flame. So I've got five options: fortification to block the flame, elementalism to extinguish the flame, telekinesis to move the flame, or I could move myself instead, or move myself very, very fast as I flee down the narrow, stony track. What does random.org give me? Run between 1 and 5, 3. Using telekinesis. Yeah, well, probably most fun of them. 24 experience to telekinesis. You channel your power of telekinesis and focus it on the hurtling bolt of flame. A powerful and well-aimed blast of telekinetic energy serves to push the fiery missile off course. It slams into the cliff to your right, where it explodes upon impact. Gah, I think I'll be good at words after all this, but apparently not. Sending a shower of fragmented rock down into the inlet far below. As the Choterik soars past and begins to climb into the sky, you quickly resume your descent along the narrow track, eager to reach the inlet before your staff-wielding assailant can unleash another attack. Several moments later, a whiskey skyward glance reveals the Choterik is once again soaring upwards towards the lofty ceiling of the dense grey clouds. I guess the Choterik doesn't really have the ability to hover in place, Matt, that well. Yeah, that's probably why it has to kind of do a swoop And then a long turn around and then a swoop back. Yeah, that's probably why it can get away. And apparently it's... Maybe she's reporting to someone else that, hey, this guy's serious. Send more dudes. I guess this is mostly a scouting thing. Mainly for scouting, although they wouldn't, you know, turn aside a chance to, you know, just blow me up if it came to it, but that would have just been a bonus. That would have been a bonus. Just, you know, still a successful mission, even though they only find me knowing, he's going here. This will be the boat to this boat we saw. It's that boat. Initiate the plan for the boat. You reach the base of the Sith cliffside track, but find no sign of Al, keeping one eye fixed on the sky above, in case the Chotrik and its fire-wielding riders should return. You move eastward towards the sound of crashing waves and the entrance to the stony inlet. As you reach the narrow shoreside entrance to the inlet, you once again gaze up at the sky and immediately spot the Chotrik, now little more than a dark speck circling against a deep grey backdrop high above. After several broad circles, the massive winged reptile turns, flies off to the west, and quickly passes out of sight. Willing to apparently be rid of the flying beast and his fire-wielding rider, for now at least, you wade through a pool of frigid, waist-deep water and move into the sheltered cove at the back of the inlet. As you wound a wall of stone and wave into the cove, you spot Owl and another man, shorter and wider than the Master Thief, standing on a rocky landing next to a small wooden boat. "Well, there she is," says Owl, meeting you with a wave and a broad grin. "Thought you would have wanted to follow me down rather than staying up there and tangle with the beast rider." Slightly annoyed with his wry commentary, you say nothing as you wade ashore and join the two men at the side of the boat. Owl quickly introduces you to the man and tells you his name is Galvar. Galvar is an old friend and happens to be first mate on the ship anchored just offshore. "Almost off this forsaken isle. And we're going to an even more forsaken isle." Galvar meets you in a shoulder cross and tells you, "You are now that you must make haste." "Captain can't hold anchor for long out here," he says, pushing back his long dark locks as he drags a small and seemingly unseaworthy craft into the water. "The sea's boiling out there today. Worst we've seen in this stretch in months." You look out at the raging sea, beyond the mouth of the inlet, but you can see nothing past the thick bank of fog that seems to slowly creep towards the shore. "I guess with all that's going on in Sargard Island, you can't just, you know, put your ship in a safe harbour, because there is no safe harbours on Sargard. Even if they look like it, it's just a convenient place for them to burninate you. The sea is a lot less dangerous than the people on that island. A lot less. But still very dangerous. This fog will make it a bit tough, I'm afraid," says Galvar, as if he sensed your concern. The ship's straight out for the most part. From not all that bad in the murk either. Well, old Tarndor knows these waters better than most, says Al. "I suppose any of this troubles him at all." "It's not the captain I'll be worried about, of course," says Galvar. "It's the ship. The Sarnhal isn't quite what she was a few years back. Enough voyages up and down the split have seen to that. We find her on top of the waves. We've got nothing to worry about. Well, I don't like that if. With the three of you seated aboard the small wooden boat, the vessel seems exceptionally unseaworthy. For you take comfort in the fact that Galvar doesn't seem the least bit concerned. At last, with both of his thick-fingered hands gripping his oars, the first inlet takes the tiny craft out of the cove, through the inlet, and into the churning waters of the open ocean. You keep your eyes focused eastward as the creaking boat first lurches out into the perilous tide, desperately seeking any sign of the vessel known as the San Hao through the rolling wall of fog. And that is the end of the first scenario, and there's plenty more to go. We get 384 experience to general, and 32 experience to all skills and powers. The rewards start off fairly modest, but still, that is more than you'd get for finishing a entire chapter in the earlier Proving Grounds. It's just everything's bigger in this one than the early ones, in pretty much every way. Anyway, the next scenario is the San Hao, where presumably we find the boat. And then we get on the boat. And presumably, things start to go wrong. Because, well, it's adventure. And adventure usually consists of things going wrong. And then your hero has to deal with them. Because that's exciting. That will be for next time. And until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.